This is Digital Story Podcast number 595, August 1st, 2017. Today's theme is The Unfriendly Skies for Photographers. I'm Derek Story. Travel is as important to many photographers as the cameras they carry because, let's face it, if you have the coolest camera in the world, but you don't have anything interesting to shoot, it's not really worth much, is it? And unfortunately, air travel has become increasingly unfriendly for us. So this week's show is dedicated to making our trips as painless as possible. So in a lot of ways, this is a show that I don't want to do, right? Because, you know, we're dealing with challenges here, and more challenges are being heaped upon the existing challenges all the time. And it just gets to a point where I feel like, okay, we need to talk about this and really start building a plan. And I think what I'm going to discuss today, it applies to you if you just fly once or twice a year, or if you're a road warrior and you find yourself in the air all the time. Now, road warriors will probably know a lot of these things already, although I hope to come up with one or two things that maybe go, yeah, hey, that's not a bad idea. But in general, people who fly a few times a year will probably really benefit from this show. So, okay, what started all this? Well, on July 26th of this year, TSA announced new security measures for domestic travelers. And this is on top of the existing security measures that we already have to deal with. So I'm going to read you straight from the TSA site. And by the way, I have a link in the show notes to the TSA site that has all of this information. So you can look it up in greater detail. But I do want to read you some of this here just so you really get a feel for what's going on. And you may have already seen some online articles about it, but this is right off the TSA site. Here's what they have to say. This is on July 26. As new procedures are phased in, TSA officers will begin to ask travelers to remove electronics larger than a cell phone from their carry-on bags and place them in a bin with nothing on top or below, similar to how laptops have been screened for years. This simple step helps TSA officers obtain a clear X-ray image. It is possible that passengers may experience more bag checks. However, through extensive testing, TSA identified ways to improve screening procedures with quicker and more targeted measures to clear the bags. The new screening procedures in standard lanes are already in place in the following 10 U.S. airports, with plans to expand to all airports during the weeks and months ahead. So I'm going to give you the 10 airports where it's happening right now. If it isn't at your airport, the airport that you use, then it will be, okay? It will be. It's just really a matter of time. So here are the 10 airports right now that this is going on. So it's at Boise Airport, Colorado Springs, Detroit Metropolitan, Fort Lauderdale Hollywood International Airport, Logan International Airport, that's in Boston, LAX, Los Angeles International Airport, Lubbock, Preston Smith International Airport, LBB, Luis Munoz International Airport, McCarran International Airport, and that's in Las Vegas. That's the one we all go to for trade shows, which means we have to come out of there, and Phoenix Sky Harbor International Airport, and that is a hub, I believe, for what used to be US Air, but now is American Airlines also. So those 10 airports have this already. So here's what TSA has to say about what happens. In standard screening lanes, and we're going to get into the difference between standard screening lanes and TSA pre here in a minute. In standard screening lanes, TSA officers will be stationed in front of the checkpoint X-ray machines to guide passengers through the screening process and recommend how best to arrange their carry-on items for X-ray screening. Okay, that's not going to slow things down at all, right? I mean, we've all stood in TSA screening lines. Even when there's no interference, you know, this thing is a mess. It's mayhem, right? So now they're going to be stationed in front of the X-ray machines, helping us arrange our items in the bins. So, yeah, that's going to slow things down, kids. Travelers are encouraged to organize their carry-on bags and keep them uncluttered to ease the screening process and to keep lines moving. And we all know that everyone's going to do that, right? Because we've seen many examples of people having their act together while they're in line for TSA screening. By the way, that was sarcasm. There are no changes to what travelers can bring through the checkpoint. Food and liquid items that comply with the 311 liquids rule, electronics, and books continue to be allowed in carry-on bags. So you can bring your electronics. You can bring books. Wow, yay. I don't even know why that's in the list. So the normal stuff still applies. What's happening, though, the notion of electronics is being expanded to really anything beyond the size of your smartphone. Now, as I understand it, this is going to include camera lenses also. They will be considered electronics, which many of them are not. Some of them are. Some of them have chips in them, but many do not. So you just might as well be prepared to put those out too, okay? First of all, we are forced to carry on our equipment whenever possible because we all know bad things happen to checked luggage. And I don't even need to go into this. You already know. But I personally have had things stolen out of my checked bag. I have had my bags ruined. And of course, just like everyone else, I have had my bags misplaced, temporarily misplaced. One of them forever misplaced, however. So putting all of our gear into checked bags is not a solution. And plus, really, we want to have it with us. It's one thing to lose your toothbrush and your spare t-shirt. It's another thing to lose your mirrorless camera. Okay. So we're just not going to have that going on. We're forced into a checked bag situation. So here are five ideas that I have to help you not only cope with the new rules, but just to mitigate the hassles of getting from point A to point B via air in general. Now, the first one is going to be sign up for TSA Pre. I haven't done that until recently because for some reason, I almost always got TSA Pre without having to sign up for it. Now, what's the difference between signing up and not signing up? Well, if you don't sign up, that doesn't mean you won't get TSA Pre, and you know how often you get it or don't get it. But it doesn't guarantee that you will have it. So if you look at the odds, the one time that you're really going to want it, you probably won't get it because that's just the way a lot of these things work. So by signing up for TSA Pre, you know you will have it every time. So how do you do that? Well, you have to enroll in the program, and I have a link in the show notes for that. And the way it starts out is you go to the link that I have in the show notes, and then you fill out an online form. And that doesn't take very long. Seems like I did it in like 5 minutes or 8 minutes, something like that. Once you complete the online form, then, however, you need to make an appointment at a facility that's as close to you as possible. Unfortunately, I don't live far from an airport, so I have one only 5 minutes away. Although my appointment was a month away. So this is not something that you do at the last minute. Think about signing up for TSA Pre the same way that you would a passport. Allow about the same amount of time and factor in about the same cost. I don't think it's quite as expensive, but it is $85 to sign up for TSA Pre. You sign up online and then you make your appointment and then you have an appointment. Now, what is that appointment good for? That is good for a 10-minute background screening and fingerprinting. And to that 10-minute meeting that you have with TSA folks, you have to bring something like your driver's license, and you have to bring a passport or birth certificate, and you tell them ahead of time what you're going to bring when you sign up online. In my case, I'm going to bring my California driver's license, and I'm going to bring my current passport, and those two things, along with whatever I've already submitted to them, along with, I guess, how the conversation goes. I don't know. Is this a job interview? I don't know. Depending on what happens during that conversation, then after that, you are given a code, essentially, that you can use, and you will always have TSA Pre. Now, you have to pay the $85 then also. So what does that mean? Well, that means then that you can avoid taking electronics out of your carry-on when you're going through security. Now, right now on the TSA Pre site, they talk about laptops, but that's only because they haven't updated that part of the site for the new security measure. what it should say here before too long, especially once the security measure is at all airports, it will be for laptops and all of your other electronics will be able to stay in your bag. And that is key. It's one thing not to have to pull your laptop out, which is where we are right now with TSA Pre. It's another thing not to have to pull out your iPad, all of your camera lenses, your cameras, hard drives, everything else that they consider electronic devices. So that is really going to save you a lot of time. Of course, you don't have to take off your shoes. You don't have to remove your belt. There's all sorts of good stuff that comes with TSA Pre. Many of you, I'm sure, have had it before, so you know what a joy it is, really, just to breeze through security. You go through the X-ray machine. Your bag goes through X-ray, but with everything in it, and then off you go. It's really nice. So I have an appointment coming up this month in August, and I'm just going to finish it off, pay my $85, and be ready the next time that I fly. Now, again, remember that the appointments are running about a month out, so make sure that you plan ahead. If you're going to be flying in a couple months, I would go ahead and take care of it right now if you're going to do it. But I would say TSA Pre is probably one of the bigger things that you can do to help make your security line experience more tolerable. Second point, simplify the boarding process. And this is just in general. So this is also going through security, but then also getting on the plane. Now, one thing that I recommend is that you become part of an airline program. And I feel like these days that it is mandatory to become part of some airline program where you have a shot at getting on the plane, you know, in the first or second or third group. The reason being, of course, is that we are carrying on probably two bags, most of us, right? Because we have our regular carry-on bag. And then if we're doing a job, a photography job, we're going to have a photography bag also. And you need a place to put it. You can't put both of those bags under the seat in front of you. And you don't want to be put in the situation to where you have to check one of those two bags because there's no room on the plane. So I think it's really important to be able to get on the plane as early as possible. Now, there's a certain amount of common sense that goes along with this. You want to have as little as possible to be schlepping with you when you get on the plane. So I like to keep my, if I have two bags, I like to keep them small. My preference is if I'm not doing a big job, if I'm not shooting a big job, just to have one bag. So in a pinch, if I have to, I can put it under the seat in front of me. I prefer to have it in the overhead because I'm a tall guy and I like to have as much foot room as I can, you know, sliding those feet under that seat in front of me. Traveling light and only carrying the gear that you absolutely need also helps with this whole boarding process too, because you're schlepping less and you have less to lug around. And, you know, it's awkward going through the aisles and, you know, getting stuff in the overhead bin and finding a bin that's open and all that sort of stuff. So just try to travel light, but I highly recommend being part of an airline program. I'm part of a program with United Air and then also with American Airlines. I have a program with each. Each program provides me with the opportunity to get on the plane earlier, not to have to pay for checked baggage and some other perks. And it's all tied to a credit card, all that kind of stuff that we know how it works. If you aren't doing something like that right now, I really recommend it. It will make your life much easier, not only the whole security line thing, but then after the security line. Point number three, avoid red flags. And now we're really back to TSA. Don't forget about the Swiss Army knife in your camera bag, liquids, flammables, you know, all that prohibited stuff. Because what happens is the minute that you have some of that stuff detected, then you're on the radar, okay? Now, of course, they're going to be checking everything else, and, you know, they're going to see, you know, is there more? Do you have more liquids? Do you have more lighters? Whatever you happen to be carrying. So just try to stay away from that. So I recommend that before you check your bag, if you're also checking a bag, before you check your bag at the airport, take a look at your carry-on stuff and make sure you don't have anything in there that you could move to your checked bag so that it doesn't get confiscated and it doesn't create a red flag. You just want to be organized. You want to play by their rules. and you want to move through the line as quickly as possible without attracting attention. And I think avoiding these prohibited items, and, you know, we're not going to bring them on purpose. It's going to be because we forget. So doing that last little review before you send your checked bag off will allow you, give you that opportunity to move stuff from the carry-on to the checked bag. Point number four, get to the airport early. Nothing really makes me more uneasy than traveling with someone who likes to arrive at the last minute. Now, arriving at the last minute is fine for a friend's birthday party, but in my mind, not so good for a traveling photographer with lots of gear. Because even with TSA Pre, I have seen that line back up to the door. And, you know, TSA Pre is going to be kind of like being part of an airline program here before too long, which is that you actually have to do TSA Pre to even have a fighting chance of getting through those lines in a reasonable amount of time. It's not going to be the thing that we've enjoyed in the past where the TSA Pre people have one or two people in line and then there's 800 people in the other line. Those 800 people are going to start to migrate over to TSA Pre because they're thinking, a lot of them anyway, will be thinking the same things that we are, which is we need to find a way to move through the airport faster. So having TSA Pre is not going to be a guarantee that you are going to breeze through security fast, and you don't want to be stressing during this part of the trip. So what you want to do is get to the airport early. And I don't mean 5 hours early, but I mean you break it all down. I always work backwards. Let's say that I feel like it's going to take me an hour and a half to get from my door to through security at the airport. I figure an hour and a half if everything goes perfectly. So then I leave 2.5 hours early. That's the kind of thing I do. That allows for a little traffic bump. That allows for bumps in the road, in the TSA line, all that kind of stuff. We're all traveling photographers, electronics guys, gals, smart wired people anyway. So all I do is then once I get through security, I find out where my gate is and then I park it. I get a cup of coffee. I open up my laptop. I do a little bit of work. I just relax until it's time to get on the plane. So I use that time well, and it's much better than stressing out. The real point here is this, that TSA Pre lines, I predict, are going to get longer over the next year or two because of these changed security measures. So don't count on just breezing through security, even if you have TSA Pre, all right? Get there early and allow yourself enough time to get through security and get on the plane in good shape. Finally, last one. Now, this one is a bit expensive, but if you fly a lot, I think it's worth it. Consider adding a ClearPass to your setup here. Now, what is a ClearPass? It gets you through the first part. So Clear speeds you through the long line for ID check, right? Because even before we get to physical security, we have to go through ID check. And that line can be crazy, and that line sometimes is separated for TSA Pre and sometimes is not. You never know what's going to happen. So at airports that have Clear, what happens is it guides you right to the screening line. So you just go right through Clear. So all you have to do is find a Clear lane, verify who you are, and you can do that with a tap of a finger, the blink of an eye, and then you speed right through. And then they provide you with fast access to the pre-check screening for those eligible flights. So Clear is like the front end of this whole equation. Clear gets you through ID check, and then TSA Pre gets you through the screening process. And if you combine the two together, especially at airports that have Clear, and not all airports do, currently it's at, I believe, 21 airports. But that list is growing, and you can check on their site. Of course, I have a link to the Clear site in the show notes, but you can check on the site to see if your airport is there. Now, it does cost $179 a year. It is not cheap. It is more than twice as much as a TSA Pre. Again, though, it might be worth it, especially if at your airport you find yourself in long lines just doing the ID check, you know, just getting to the security line, the physical security line. So now, even if you do all of these things, there's still no protection against delayed flights, obnoxious travelers, and sometimes rude airline staff. So also pack plenty of patience and as much humor as you can muster. If you do that and you follow these other things that I talked about, at least the ones relating to getting on the plane easily and TSA pre, you know, the basic stuff, then you should have a better experience than you would have otherwise. And these days, when it comes to airline travel, if you can just have a better experience, it was worth doing. And may the friendly skies be with you. 11 free apps I couldn't live without as a photographer. And this is a post on F-Stoppers by Paul Adshead. And this is a really good list. I went into this list thinking that I was going to see the same stuff that I normally see in these types of articles. And he had better stuff. I mean, this is really a well-done article. So what I thought I'd do is just share with you some of these apps right now that he talked about. Of course, there is a link to the article in the show notes so that you can get all the details. But listen to some of these. These are great things for us to have on our smartphones as photographers. The first one is YR, and it is YR.no. It's a weather app from Norway, and Paul says he has many weather apps, but this one is by far the most reliable that he's ever used. In fact, the app once saved him from canceling an important shoot, as it told him the rain would stop while all the other weather channels said otherwise. By the way, it did stop. And he avoided a catastrophe since he didn't have anything else to do that day. So anyway, don't be put off that this app is Norwegian, because it is written in English and it contains over 10 million locations in the world. He really loves it. And that is YR.no. And I'm looking at a screenshot of it. It is pretty cool. And he says it's darn accurate. So that's a freebie. Next one. These are great. Pocket Light Meter. And I have one on my phone, and I just love Pocket Light Meter. What it does is it just gives you the opportunity to double check your meter reading against what your camera is saying. Or if you're shooting film, as I find myself doing quite often, the light meters in film cameras are sporadic at best sometimes, or there isn't one at all. So then I can actually do a light meter reading then. It's just really nice having a backup way to take light meter readings. I love having a light meter app on the phone. I think it's a great idea. And the one that he likes here is called Pocket Light Meter, and it's terrific. And it's free. It's available for iOS and Android. The weather app is also available for iOS and Android too. Okay. Next one, number three, Releases. So these are model releases, and this is a nice little app. This is iOS only. But again, if you don't want to lug around paper releases, you can just have this app on your phone. It covers all the bases. It's easy to do. People can just sign right there on the screen. Pretty slick. And it's called Releases. And again, that one's iOS only. Number four is Sunroute. And Sunroute will tell you where the sun will be at any specific time on any particular day. This is iOS only also. Looks like a really nice app and really makes it easy to predict the angle of the sun, which is very important to us sometimes. His fifth one is Gorilla Cam, and this is a Joby app. It's iOS only, and it has all sorts of cool features, but time-lapse and self-timer shots and rapid-fire photo series are three of the things that have made this app really popular. It does a great job with time-lapse and is called Gorilla Cam, number five. Number six, Sci-Lights, and this is iOS. So unless you have photographic memory, excuse the pun, you'll probably forget how you created all your various lighting setups. Thankfully, Sci-Lights allows you to create lighting diagrams that you can carefully note where everything was on that day. I find this app especially handy for my commercial clients who often ask me to recreate previous shoots we have done together. This is really cool, and it has icons for lights and diffuser panels and all that kind of stuff. This looks like fun to play with anyway. And it's called Sci-Lights, S-Y-L-I-G-H-T-S. And again, it's available for iOS. This is one that I did not know about that I'm going to be adding to my phone. Number seven, hyperfocal DOF. I'm assuming that stands for depth of field. And he said that he recently wrote about the science of hyperfocal distance and deep focus as being photographic concepts well worth understanding for those who struggle with the mathematical equations involved. Hyperfocal DOF will do all the hard work for you. Just pick your camera model from the list, set your focal length and aperture used, and click on Calculate Hyperfocal, and you will be given the closest distance at which the lens can be focused while keeping objects at infinity sharp. Nice, huh? That's kind of cool. Again, never knew this one existed. So it's called Hyperfocal DOF. That's number 7. Number 8, Wi-Fi Photo Transfer. By the way, both Hyperfocal and Wi-Fi Photo Transfer are iOS. Wi-Fi Photo Transfer, this is a must for iPhone users who create albums in their camera roll. Thankfully, this app exists as Apple, in their infinite wisdom, decided to make it very hard for users to pull off individual photo albums they may have made. I personally use my phone to collect and organize images for inspiration, document location scouts, and build mood boards. Mood boards, that sounds fun. As long as my phone and laptop are sharing the same Wi-Fi connection, I can finally go into my phone via a web browser and conveniently download all the contents of an album into a handy zip file. This is really valuable when I want to send something over to a client. All right, that sounds handy. That's called Wi-Fi Photo Transfer. Number 9, My Tide Times. My Tide Times. If you shoot anywhere near the sea, this app is a vital download, not just so your shoots go to plan, but also to keep you safe. Good point. So My Tide Times tells you the heights and the times of tides for any location that you need. All right. And this is iOS and Android, My Tide Times. And again, I'm looking at the interface. It looks really nice. Very super handy. Number 10, Magic Hour, and Magic Hour is an iOS app. Golden Hour is a time of day around sunrise and sunset when light is great for photography. Although this app is only 15.3 megabytes in size, it really does pack a punch. The app will tell you all you need to know about when and how long Golden Hour will be for your current location, a brief weather summary, and also the times of sunrise and sunset. That does sound extremely useful. So that one is called Magic Hour. And number 11 is Dark Skies. Dark Skies is available for iOS and Android. This is one for photographers who like to capture clear star formations in the sky but want to avoid long star trails. All you need to do is select your camera of choice in the app menu. Input the focal length of your lens, and Dark Skies will use the 600 rule to calculate how long of an exposure you can get away with. I love using this app because it avoids any trial and error while on the shoot. I tend to do the calculations before I leave the comfort of my warm car so I can minimize the length of time that I'm out in the cold. I'm with you on that one. A nice feature of this app is night mode, which subdues the screen's brightness and color, so if you're using it while out in the field, you don't lose your night vision so quickly. Nice, huh? I mean, these are really cool. Dark Skies, that's iOS and Android, and that is number 11. So thanks so much to Paul Adshead for publishing this article on F-stoppers. As I said, I have the link in the show notes. There's got to be one or two of these that are tempting to you. I found 3 or 4 that I'm going to get myself. Update on the Nimble Classroom. So I just want to let you guys know what's going on with the Nimble Classroom. Those of you that have already signed up, this is for you, but also folks that are thinking about signing up for one of our 4 sessions coming up in August, September, and October. And those 4 sessions are on August 19th, Catalog Management for Capture One Pro, Expert Editing for Capture One Pro, that's on September 9th, Luminar Pro Techniques on September 23rd, and Photos 3 for macOS on October 7th. So I have been testing our setup, and I have to let you know that it's going extremely well. So the first thing that I've done is test the live streaming part of the setup. And what I'm looking at it on, I look on my iPhone, and also my iPad, both, because I figure those are going to be the two most challenging scenarios. And we're using StreamShark right now for the streaming part of it. They have a very nice app on the user end. You can go to Windows, Mac, and all the devices. And the streaming part looks great. It sounds great. The images look great. I'm going back and forth from live action to the screen. I'm using Mimo Live by Boink Software to actually manage all of that, which is basically a television application for television broadcasts. So all that part is going really well. I'm feeling really confident about that. And then I'm also recording to disk at the same time. And the thing that I had to work out there was, you know, having an external hard drive set up. So because, I mean, my laptop is not going to be able to accommodate, you know, 4 or 5 hours of high definition video. Been working through that part of it, and that part's going really well. And I'm extremely pleased with how the video looks on hard drive. It's looking really good. And of course, people who sign up for the class will be getting some of that video. I'm not going to just give you a blah download. What I'm going to be giving are the important chunks, you know, where I'm doing instruction. And those are going to look really good. So you'll get those also. And then, of course, you know, I'm just working on the actual content itself. That part, in a lot of ways, is the easiest part for me, because the first 4 sessions are stuff that I know inside and out. However, I want you to know that I'm still practicing. So now, those of you that have signed up for the first class, August 19th, you're going to be getting your questionnaire pretty soon, where you get to submit your questions, and then it gives you some information on how to prepare for class. Be looking for that, oh, I'd say within the next week or so. And the rest of you, if any of you are thinking about this would be a fun thing to do, just go to thenimblephotographer.com, thenimblephotographer.com, click on classroom up in the upper nav bar there, and it'll take you right to where these 4 sessions are. Read about them. See what you think. I think this is going to be a breakthrough activity for our virtual camera club, and I'm really excited about it. Okay, let's wrap up here. Always like to start this part of the show with a big thanks to our Patreon members. We got a couple new ones this week. I have to tell you, I was really happy. So thank you. Our Patreon members are the ones that help keep this show on the air. They're the ones that are paying the basic bills right now. They're paying the utilities, so to speak. So you got to tip your hat to them. If you're interested in becoming part of the Inner Circle and supporting the show, we have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story, a Patreon tile. Just click on it. It's very easy to sign up, and you'll be doing us all a really big favor. And finally, a big thanks to our friends at Red River Paper. Thank you so much, guys, for making great paper that I'm having fun with. But also thank you for supporting this show and supporting our overall photography endeavors. The latest thing that I've been really hooked on is creating these square greeting cards. They are a blast. And I've got it down to a science now, to where if I have an idea, let's say that someone does something really nice for me, I literally can create a square greeting card for them from my phone, from my iPhone, and have it ready to send off in 5 minutes. 5 minutes from start to finish. No hassle, none at all. And I use Red River products to do this. And of course, I write about it in my creative printing book, which you can get in the iBook store. Red River Paper is also going to make some of this content available online. We're working on that right now. Again, these are just the kind of people they are. Red River Paper, they have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story and have a terrific Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. Alrighty, that's going to do it for me this week. I hope some of these tips help make your air travel less painful. That's the way I'm going to say it. And if you have any additional tips, please add them to our Facebook page, where I'll post this podcast. Let's help each other out. Let's get to where we want to go in the best shape possible, so we can get down to the real business at hand, which is making great pictures. Until next week, have a terrific week. I'll see you next Tuesday. Until then, bye-bye now.